Like I mentioned, we're in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 11 this morning. And before we get to the text, I just want to mention that some people are night people, night owls, some of us are, and just talking in the normal human sense, and some people are day people. Some people prefer to do their work and their activities in the day. Some prefer to do them at night. Some people prefer to sleep at night and rise up early with the dawn, go to bed early when the darkness comes, and others, they like to stay up at night. And just that is true in some sense in our human life, on everyday life, it's also true spiritually speaking. In fact, we could almost say that there really are, spiritually speaking, biblically speaking, there really are only two kinds of people in this world. Again, biblically speaking, not everyday life speaking, but biblically speaking, there are night people, there are day people. I want to be very clear with this. We're not picking on night owls. Okay? So we're going to read these words from 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 11, and Paul is not picking on you night owls. Okay? All right. But let's read about what Paul has to say about people of the day, children of the light, and children of the darkness. All right, starting in verse 1, Paul says, "Now concerning the times and the season, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night." While people are saying there's peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to attain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. So Paul talks about two groups of people here. We can see that. He talks about night and day people, and again, we're talking in spiritual terms. Night people, we learn here, are associated with what? With darkness, with sleep, with drunkenness. And day people are associated with light and alertness and sobriety. Now, Paul is really showing us the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. And a believer and an unbeliever, one who possesses salvation and one who does not. So in our series, The Impact of Hope, we've looked at the coming of Christ that Paul described in chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. And last week, we investigated the day of the Lord as described in these verses here in chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. This week, let's finish the series by examining what it means to be a child of light and the impact it has on us. What does that mean? What does that mean to be a child of the light or a child of the day? Because Paul tells the Thessalonians, look at verses 5 and verse 8. Paul tells the Thessalonians, "For you are all children of light, children of the day, and we are not of the nights or of darkness." In verse 8 says, we belong to the what? To the day. So children of light, the phrase, children of the day, we belong to the day. We've already stated that these phrases describe Christians, but what do they mean? Well, for a moment, let's zoom out of 1 Thessalonians and consider what the Bible has to say about light. Light's a very common metaphor in the Bible. For example, Proverbs 4, verse 18. Proverbs 4, verse 18 symbolizes righteousness as the light of dawn. That scripture says, "But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn." which shines brighter and brighter until full day. Philippians, the second chapter, verse 15. It's Philippians 2, verse 15. Likens God's children who are blameless and innocent and pure to lights in the world. Here, the writer says that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. We know that Jesus used a picture of good works to describe light. Matthew 5:16 reads, "Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good deeds." So light in the Bible is a metaphor that describes righteousness. It describes holiness. It describes innocence. It describes the good deeds that come from these qualities. Let's talk about being a child of the light now. What does that mean? You are children of light. Well, as children, let's start with our Father, who is God. And the Bible says He is light. 1 John chapter 1 verse 5 says, "This is the message we have heard from Him and we proclaim, we preach this to you, that God is what? God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all." And note that John does not tell us that God is a light, but John says He is light. Light, again, being righteousness and goodness, is a part of His nature, as is love. That's 1 John 4:8. And so the message is that God is completely, unreservedly, absolutely holy, with no admixture of sin, no taint of iniquity, and no hint of injustice. There is no darkness in Him at all. So we know that God is light, and we know His Son is also light, because Jesus said that in John 8 verse 12, where He says, "I am the light of the world, and whoever follows Me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." I know I ask this a lot, but any followers of Jesus here this morning, are we not God's children? Are we not born again of Him who is light? We are. So as adopted sons and daughters of God, we are children of light. That's who we are. We are children of the day. And we, like our Father, are to shine as lights in a world darkened by sin. Paul talked about that. Paul talked about that to Agrippa. He was testifying to Agrippa about his ministry in Acts 26:17-18. And he revealed that this ministry, this directive, came from Jesus Himself. And so Jesus here is talking to Paul. This is the account of that. Jesus says, "I am sending you," in verse 17, "to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in Me." In a very much broader context, Jesus spoke to the disciples in Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16, telling them, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it what? It gives light to the whole house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." So to be a child of light is to be a child of God who is light. To be a child of the light is to be like Jesus Christ. My friends, those who are like Jesus Christ are not destined for wrath. As Paul told the Thessalonian Christians, these children of light, in 1 Thessalonians 5:9, "For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." So, knowing that we are children of light, Knowing that we are children of the day, what impact should this have on our lives? Ephesians 5:8 tells us, now you are the light in the Lord, walk as children of light. What does that mean? To walk, in short, is to live one's life, one's lifestyle, we would call it, or way of life can be considered a walk. And the word also indicates progress. Walking is related to growth. It's taking steps towards maturity, putting it all together. Walking in the light means growing in holiness and maturing in the faith as we follow Jesus, who is the light of the world. So Christians, how are we doing with this instruction from the Lord? Now, in view of the day of the Lord, what should we be doing as children of light? Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5, and we're going to start in verse 2 and 4. Here, Paul tells these Christians, the Thessalonian Christians, to be fully aware. Fully aware. He says in verse 2, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. And then he says in verse 4, you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. So Paul tells Christians to not be surprised by the day of the Lord. Now, people in darkness, unbelievers, would be surprised like a thief in the night because they chose not to believe in the Lord or His words about forthcoming judgment. But as Paul wrote, the Thessalonians and you and I, we are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise us like a thief. So like the Thessalonians Christians, we have made a choice to believe in God. We have made a choice to believe in His Word, and thus we believe in His coming universal wrath, like Romans 2 talks about. So as people who are fully aware of the day of the Lord, we need to be very careful who we listen to. Look at verse 3. While people are saying, Paul says, there is peace and security. A very interesting phrase. Then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. Peace and security. You know, Paul actually lifts this language about people proclaiming peace and security straight from the Old Testament. For example, Jeremiah, he prophesied about the day of the Lord. Jeremiah warned Judah, the southern kingdom, of judgment, of impending judgment. And Jeremiah was talking about a historical day of the Lord in which God would come and use another nation to be His judge and executioner. And many of them would have been massacred and the rest would be deported off into Babylon. But notice what Jeremiah, the prophet, had to contend with. In Jeremiah 6:13-14, we read in the middle of the verse, and prophet to priest, everyone deals falsely. They have healed the wound of my people lightly, as in they put a band-aid on it, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. What were the false prophets saying back in Jeremiah's day? What were they saying? Don't worry about that army up there. Don't worry about that. Nothing to see. Move along. Move along. We'll just head into a new era of peace here. This is the dawning of a new time of peace. Everything is going to be wonderful. There's peace and security here. Jeremiah 8, verse 11 says essentially the same thing about these people. They have healed the wound of my people lightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And then there's Jeremiah 14, verses 13 through 14. Jeremiah is having a conversation with God in Jeremiah 14, 13 through 14. And he's telling God, oh, Lord God, behold, the prophets say to them, you shall not see the sword, nor shall you have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. What does the Lord say to Jeremiah? The prophets are prophesying lies in my name. I did not send them. Nor did I command them or speak to them. They are prophesying to you a lying vision, worthless divination, and in the deceit of their own minds. Ezekiel, he had the same problem. In Ezekiel 13, verse 10, God is speaking. He really starts speaking in verse 8, but let's pick up in verse 10 of Ezekiel 13. Precisely because they have misled my people, saying peace when there is no peace. Micah, same thing in Micah 3, verse 5. This is what the Lord says. You false prophets are leading my people astray. You promise peace for those who give you food, but you declare war on those who refuse to feed you. How very interesting. All right. My friends, do we hear this kind of language in religious talk today in our culture? Do we? Do we hear peace and security language in the 21st century? Joel Osteen, leader of the largest church in America, he wrote a book which has sold, to my knowledge, over 400 million copies. The book is called Your Best Life Now. Think about that. Your Best Life Now. My friends, the only way this could be your best life now is if you're going to hell. That's the only way. Osteen says that anyone, and I quote, can create by faith in words the dreams he desires, health, wealth, happiness. My friends, today's prosperity gospel, today's health and wealth doctrine is nothing more than the peace and security doctrine of Old Testament times. God has not promised world peace, nor has he promised, for what it's worth, financial peace, nor utopia on earth, nor everlasting security from physical countries or political systems. Knowing this, and as children of the day, let's not pay attention to those who preach peace and security in this world. Paul also tells Christians back in 1 Thessalonians 5 to keep awake and be sober. He says, starting in verse 6 and going through 8, so then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober. For what it's worth, the word sleep here is very different from the word sleep Paul uses back in chapter 4. Back in chapter 4, verses 13, 14, and 15, he uses the word sleep to refer to the death of believers. In that, believers who have died, they're really only asleep because it's temporary and they're going to wait in the resurrection. But here, in this chapter, Paul uses a very different word that normally means just sleep. This is the sleep of spiritual indifference. When people are living as if there is no judgment, they're asleep. They can't see sleep because their eyes are closed. They can't see truth because their eyes are closed. And they aren't even aware that judgment is coming. They're absolutely turned out. They're asleep. They're living their lives as if there would never be a judgment of God. Living their lives as if there never were a God. Does this sound like anyone we know in the 21st century America that we live in? My friends, let us not sleep as others do. Paul also tells Christians to be sober. That word sober, it means to be free from the influence of intoxicants. Yet Paul really is just extending his illustration here. He talked about the ungodly being asleep and drunk. So now, picking up on these two things, he tells the children of God to be awake and sober. Being awake and sober, these are really two ways to define our sensitivity to spiritual reality. Being sober means what alert means, being under control, self-controlled. having our priorities very carefully laid out, being filled with spiritual and moral gravitas, seriousness, being zealous for what God defines as true and what is right, etc., etc. So we are to live in sobriety as people of the day, dressed in God's armor. Paul says in verse 8, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for the helmet, the hope of salvation. Now, we might recognize the armor of God language from Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18, but this too is language that is borrowed from the Old Testament, where in Isaiah 59, verse 17, the prophet is talking about the Lord who himself puts on garments of war to deliver justice and vengeance. Verse 17, Isaiah 59 says, he, talking about the Lord, put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on garments of vengeance for clothing and wrapped himself in zeal as a cloak. So, as Christians, dressed in the armor of God, we are in the Lord's army. But think about that. Because we're of the light, we are children of the day, we are soldiers of Christ, we're in His army, we're not going to be recipients of God's wrath. In fact, we are, as we've noted, we are destined for salvation as children of the light. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with Him. Again, as we've stated throughout the series as Christians, hallelujah, we are not destined for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, therefore, we are to encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing, Paul says. My friends, let's encourage each other with these words. As children of the day, we know some things. We know that the Lord is coming. We know that we will be raised imperishable. We know that the Lord will return in wrath toward those who do not obey. We also know that as children of the light, we are not destined for His wrath, but His salvation. So equipped with this knowledge, equipped with these words, let's live accordingly in hope, being fully aware of the day of the Lord. Not listening to people who are proclaiming peace and security in this physical world, yet keeping awake and keeping sober, dressed in God's armor, destined for salvation, encouraging and building one another up. I'd like to now extend an invitation to anyone here that desires to become a Christian and have eternal life. The Bible tells us that we become a Christian by believing in Jesus, confessing His great and beautiful name, repenting of our sin, being baptized in water as an appeal for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus, for the washing away of sins, calling on His name. If we can assist you, please come forward while we stand and while we sing.